If you would, to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look this morning at the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And I want to speak to you this morning about the key to effective faith. The key to effective faith. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And let's stand together and we'll read these scriptures. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Verse 22, Mark 11, 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto them," can you read those next four words with me? "Have faith in God." Can you do it again a little bit more enthusiastically? "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." Let's do it one more time. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please speak to our hearts this morning. I'm so inadequate and unworthy, Lord, really even to stand here. But I thank you for your mercy and calling me by your grace and give me the privilege to be in the ministry, putting me into the ministry, Lord. And I thank you for your word that I could study and learn things. And Lord, to now share this truth with each one here this morning. You knew who would be here. And I'm asking you, Lord, to use the truth in our hearts and use it in our lives. Help us to have an effective faith. A faith that is working. A faith that is taking action. A faith that's going forward. Work in us today, I pray, and strengthen us from your word. Work in us by your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Again, I want to speak to you this morning about the key to effective faith. In verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Those are four of the most important words, really, that we could ever learn. Have faith in God. These are our words to live by, if you will. These are good advice. Faith in God is absolutely essential to salvation. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Through faith. Boy, faith is pretty important then, isn't it? If faith is what saves us, we need faith. We need faith in God and faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in God is essential to salvation. Faith in God is essential to getting answered prayer. We even see that in the verses that we read there. Faith in God is essential to having peace in the midst of the storms of life. People with faith in God are those who have peace in the troubles and peace in the storms. Faith in God is essential to obeying God. Many times people won't obey God because they don't have faith in God. We sing an old hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." It takes faith in God to obey. To obey and to do the things that He asks us to do. Have faith in God. These were the words of Jesus. These were the words of the greatest teacher that's ever lived. We need faith. We need a faith that stabilizes our life in the darkest hours. We need a faith that helps us in the deepest valleys of our life. We need a faith that gives us inner joy and gives us peace in our heart, even in the midst of trials and heartaches and troubles that will undoubtedly come. We need faith. We need a faith that strengthens us in our weakness. We need a faith that gives us daily victory. We need a faith that causes us to live a life that is blessed of God. In order to have an effective faith, let me challenge you this morning in three areas. Three areas I want to challenge you. Number one, examine your faith. Number one, examine your faith. If we're going to have an effective faith, we're going to need to examine our faith. Examine it. Can I ask you this question first? Under that, is your faith fixed in Christ? Is your faith fixed on Christ? Sadly, this morning, some of you maybe drove up Bayview Avenue, and One of the biggest Hindu temples in our area is there on Bayview. And boy, there are people that go to that temple regularly. And I've told you before, one day years ago, I went and peeked inside the doors of that building. It's really just like a big warehouse inside. And there was all these massive statues, you know, that people go and they say their prayers to those statues and bow down to those massive idols in there. And they offer their incense to those idols and so on. But sadly, many people are fixing their hope in that. They're fixing the hope in many false gods. They're fixing their hopes in Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam or many other religions. And they don't have their faith fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This weekend is some sort of, you know, big Hindu holiday or whatever. So man, it's packed out over there. You know, they got lots of parking guards and the police are out there helping to park today. And there's cars all the way from, by now I'm sure it's all the way from Elgin Mills all the way up to 19th Avenue. Cars on Bayview. And it looks like they're going to have it so multiple rows can maybe even go in through the day. I don't know. But man, people have their faith fixed in many things other than Jesus Christ, sadly. Can I ask you personally, though, is your faith fixed in Christ? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you really know the Lord? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know for sure that you're a child of God? Because I wouldn't want you to leave here. I wouldn't want you to go home and not know the Lord, not know Jesus Christ in your life. In John 3:36, it says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's a pretty clear verse. It's a real separator. It's a real divider. If someone believes on the Son of God and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. They can have eternal life. But if they don't believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, sadly, the wrath of God abideth on them. Turn with me, if you would, back to the book of 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but the what we call the epistle of 1 John, or the letter 1 John, 1 John chapter number 5, just towards the very end of your New Testament, 1 John chapter 5. And let's notice there verses 11, 12, and 13. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, it says, "And this is the record." This is a record. This is, you gotta listen, okay? This is a record. This is a very plain declarative statement, a sure fact. "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." That's how eternal life comes. It comes through the Son of God. Verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We can know we have eternal life, but our faith must be fixed in Jesus Christ. For a person to be saved, forgiven of their sins, and on their way to heaven, their faith must be, of course, they must believe in God the Father, they must believe in God, but they must put their faith and trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Examine your faith. Examine your faith. You're not going to have any effective faith if you don't first have faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't first know Him as your Savior, have you personally believed on Jesus and received Him by faith? Let me ask you another question. Does your faith stand in the tough times of life? Examine your faith. Does your faith stand in the tough times of life? Do you have faith in God? Are you trusting in the Lord? Does your faith make you strong in your weakness? Does your faith stand when you lose a loved one? Does your faith stand in the times of sickness? Does your faith stand when you're dying? Boy, I'm glad my mom's faith stood even when she lost her husband and lost her dad and lost her son. I'm glad her faith stood and she continued to trust in God and know that God's in charge and God's in control. As I watch my cousin Lisa now, who's dying, she's been sick for many years and had a crippling type of disease, but then cancer was added on top of that this year. My cousin Lisa over in Cambridge, she could die in the next few days, she could die in the next few weeks, we don't know. But I'm glad to know that her faith is standing even in her dying days. Her faith is standing even in her dying days. She's still got a hope that is sure. She knows the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows she's on her way to heaven. Does your faith stand in tough times? Does your faith stand when you get bad news from the doctor? Or do you get all angry and upset and mad at God? Examine your faith. Will you keep your faith in God during the tough times, or will you forsake your faith? Will you be a Christian who trusts God and believes that Romans 8:28 is still true even when trials come into your life? Oh, it's wonderful to have faith in God. Listen, and have trust in God. But, oh, the doctor gave me some good news this week. But what if 5 weeks from now you get bad news from the doctor? All of a sudden then, are you going to be angry at God and upset at God, or will your faith stand? Will you believe Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We need a faith that believes that. We need a faith that will stand in the tough times of life. In Hebrews 10:38, God said this, "Now the just shall live by faith." We're not just justified by faith or saved by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You know what? We need more than just faith for salvation. We need to live by faith day by day for the rest of our life. We need to continue to have faith in God. We need to have a faith that stands, a faith that really works, a faith that will work even through tests and even through trials and even through troubles. That, but we still got faith in God that holds us together and holds everything together because we're trusting God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." Do you have a faith that stands? Is your faith fixed in Christ? Does your faith stand in the tough times of life? Here's another thought. Is your faith sufficient when your material possessions are little or gone? Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Is your faith sufficient? Is your faith enough when your material possessions are little or gone? What if you lose your job? Will you still trust God? What if financial depression comes to North America? And the nations that have been the most wealthy nations in the world, what if a real depression actually comes? Will we still trust God? You know, the truth is, if we're trusting in ourselves or we're trusting in our money right now, then we surely won't trust God when it's gone. Notice what the Bible says, Matthew 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Then go down to verse 25. Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you," look at it, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" That's another word for clothing. "Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gently gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" You know, if God feeds the birds, listen, if God feeds the animals, can He take care of you? Can He take care of you? Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow not. They grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I challenge you, examine your faith. Examine your faith. Are you trusting yourself to take care of your needs, or are you trusting God to take care of your needs? One good way to put yourself into a position where you know that you're trusting God to take care of your needs instead of trusting yourself is to start tithing. Start tithing. Start bringing your tithe and offerings unto the Lord, because then you, oh, but God, I don't know. I don't know if I can make it without that. I can't give away part of that. I need that. You know what? One good way to show that you're putting your faith and trust in God is to do that. Do you have faith to honor God with the tithe? Do you have faith to put God first with your money? Or are you too busy taking care of yourself? We need a faith that is sufficient to trust God to meet our needs. We need a faith that is sufficient when we have much or when we have little. Don't trust in your own resources or ability. Trust in God's supernatural power to meet your needs when you honor Him and put Him first in your life. Is your faith sufficient? Let me share with you another thought. Do you have faith in God when circumstances seem impossible? Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4, listen close. Do you have faith in God when circumstances seem impossible? I'm challenging you. Examine your faith. If you want to have an effective faith, you need to have faith fixed in Christ. If you want to have an effective faith, I ask you this. Does your faith stand in the tough times of life? Is your faith sufficient when your material possessions are little or gone? Do you have faith in God when circumstances seem impossible? What about when there's things in your life that just don't make sense? What about when there's things that don't make sense? What about when there's something hard that comes? Or what about when there's something impossible that God asks you to do? What about when you face a situation that it seems impossible, or it seems like there's no hope, and humanly speaking, you'd like to just give up? Will you have faith in God then? Will you have faith in God when there's maybe some circumstances that seem impossible? Notice what it says in Romans 4, verses 19 to 21. Romans 4, 19 to 21. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Examine your faith. Here Abraham trusted God, had faith in God. 99 years of age. His wife, 89 years of age. They had never yet, they tried to manipulate things and take it into their own hands, and that was a failure. God wasn't pleased with that. God had not yet given them a seed to make of them a great nation, but he had promised that he would. And so now they didn't stagger in unbelief. They put their faith in God and trusted in the promises of God now, and God gave them a son. When he was now 100 and Sarah 90, God gave them the son. Do you have faith in God to trust him when there's something that seems impossible? Abraham and Sarah's, their situation was impossible. Humanly seemed impossible. That there's no way she could bear a child at that age. The key to an effective faith is God. Trusting what he can do. Not trusting in ourselves. What is impossible with man is possible with God. In Mark 11:22, again, remember it's Jesus said, have faith in God. All things are possible to him that believeth. Do you have faith in God when the circumstances seem impossible? And some of you are facing maybe some impossible circumstances. Keep your faith in God. I challenge you with another thought here. Do you have a faith that gives peace in the midst of troubles? Do you have a faith that gives peace in the midst of troubles? Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. In the New Testament, after Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, you'll find the book of Philippians chapter number 4. I ask this question, do you have a faith that gives peace in the midst of troubles? You know, some, this world cannot give that kind of peace. Yoga will not give you that kind of peace. There's a peace that only God can give. Only faith in God, only trust in God can give you a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that passeth all human understanding. Your faith is not in God if you're not experiencing peace in the midst of troubles. God very clearly does not want us to live in worry. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety. He doesn't want us to live in fear. It's not for the Christian that we should not have to live in anxiety or fear or depression. He does not want that. He wants the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Notice what it says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. That means we should not be full of care. We should not be full of care over things. We shouldn't be anxious. We shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't be full of care and full of trouble and constantly worried about things. Be careful. Be full of care for nothing. There should be nothing that makes us that we're so full of care and so full of trouble and so full of worry that we can't have peace. That's not how God wants us to live as a Christian. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He will give us peace if we're trusting in Him. We need to learn to do that. I share with you another question. Another question to help you examine your faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Not Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong thing. I took you there already. Examine your faith. Examine your faith. Do you have the peace of God in your heart, even in the midst of troubles? Do you have the peace of God in your heart, even in the midst of trials? Another question. Do you have a faith that's leading you forward for God? Do you have a faith that's leading you forward for God? You know what? Faith should move us forward. Move us forward for God. Faith in God always leads people forward. Faith in God causes Christians to take action. You know, when Joshua and Caleb, they were sent as part of the 12 spies that went into Canaan land, they believed God and they wanted the Israelites to go forward into the promised land. True faith in God should be causing us to progress and not regress. True faith in God should be causing us to go forward and not backwards. True faith in God, listen, should be causing us to go ahead and not to turn back. It should be causing us to do more for God and not to do less. Faith in God will always lead us forward and bring us forward. Examine your faith. Are you going forward for God? Are you doing more for God than before? In Acts chapter 13, in the church of Antioch, God wanted Barnabas and Saul. He wanted them to be sent out of that local church to become missionaries, to become church planters, to help spread the work of God further. And it was their faith in God that led them forward. Their faith in God, their belief, okay, when God says, I want you to separate Barnabas and Saul, and I want you to send them out of the church, but oh, I don't know. No, but it's faith in God that led them forward. That the church would send them out, that they would be willing to go, that they would trust God. Their faith led them forward. Their faith led them to step up to the plate. Their faith led them to obey God. Their faith helped them to go out and serve God and to move forward because God was asking them, now, I want you to do a greater work. Is your faith moving you forward? Is your faith helping you do more for God than you used to? Do you have a faith that's leading you forward? For God, in order to have an effective faith, you must examine your faith. Let me give you a second thought. In order to have an effective faith, you must establish your faith. You must establish your faith. Your faith needs to be strong and firm and unshakable and immovable. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to establish your faith? How are you going to have an immovable faith so that your faith stands in the tough times and the trials? Your faith does help you to experience God's peace when the circumstances of life wouldn't dictate that. How are you going to establish your faith? A few thoughts. Build your faith upon God's Word. We're going to have to build our faith up in the Word of God. I think it's in Jude where it talks about building yourself up in the most holy faith. Hey, we're going to have to build up our faith by the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Build your faith upon God's Word. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we need to fill our heart and fill our mind with the Word of God. Do you know that as you study the Word of God and read the Bible and memorize it and meditate on it and believe it and practice it in your life, it'll help to build up your faith. It'll help to establish your faith. How are you going to do it? How are you going to establish your faith? If you want to have a faith that's going to stand in tough times, that's going to experience peace in the midst of heartaches, a faith that's going to help you to go forward for God, I mean, that kind of a faith, you're going to need to build it up. Build up your faith Establish your faith. Build your faith upon God's word. Don't trust in self. Build your faith upon God's word. Let me give you another thought with that. Claim God's promises daily through prayer. Are you listening? Claim God's promises daily through prayer. In Mark 10:27, it said this, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Turn with me to Mark 12:24. Mark 12:24. We need to pray in faith, believing. Look to God in prayer. Do you know what prayer does? Prayer demonstrates faith in God. Prayer demonstrates trust in God. Prayer shows that you're going to trust Him and have faith in Him. We need to claim God's promises daily through prayer. Search the scriptures and find God's promises and then claim them in prayer. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Is that a great promise in the Bible? Sure is. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Boy, that's a great promise. You know what? You could search the scriptures looking for promises from God and then get yourself alone in prayer and claim those promises. God, this is your promise. This is your word. You've never failed to keep a promise. You've got to keep this in my life and claim those promises. That's a way to build up your faith. Mark 12:24. You thought I forgot. Mark 12:24 says this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, that's a good promise. How are we going to establish our faith? Claim God's promises. Pray daily. Pray in faith. Pray believing. Pray daily and claim the promises of God in your life. In 1 John, listen, 1 John 5 and verse 14, it says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. This is the confidence we can have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God hears us. How are you going to establish your faith? Claim God's promises daily through prayer. In Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Boy, you want to claim the promises of God? We can't be lazy when it comes to prayer. Hey, claim the promises of God. Search the scriptures. Learn the promises of God. Get yourself some time alone with God and claim His promises. Claim them. And see what God can do. Oh, that'll build up your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God will reward those that diligently seek Him. So that's what we need to do. Seek Him in prayer and claim His promises. God will reward those who establish their faith in Him. God will reward those who diligently seek Him in prayer. God will reward those who believe and claim the promises of God. How are you going to establish your faith? First, you're going to have to build up your faith upon, listen, look here, you're too easily getting distracted. There's a little distraction, I know, because little people are so cute. All right? We would all rather look at cute babies than look at me. Listen, if you would, please. Build up your faith in God's Word. Build it. Spend time in it. Learn the scriptures and learn the promises and build up your faith by spending time in God's word. And then claim those promises and spend time in prayer. And that'll help to build your faith as you look. Here's God's word. Here's God's promises. Claim them in prayer. See what God can do. That'll build and strengthen and help your faith. How are you going to establish your faith? Here's another good thought. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And look with me, if you would, at verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse number 23. You're going to establish your faith? Here's a good one. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. And that'll help to build up and establish your faith. Notice what it says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God's good advice to us if we want to build up our faith is don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't let it be that you always find something to do and there's this going on and there's this going on and this going on and this going on and I don't got time for church. No, if we're going to build up our faith, God wants us to be faithful to church. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We establish our faith with faithful church attendance. We establish our faith when we hear the word of God preached and taught. Our faith will not be as strong as it ought to be without being faithful to church. It's impossible. How are we going to establish our faith? We must build our faith upon God's word. We must claim God's promises daily through prayer. We must be faithful to church. And how else? Number four, remember what God has done for you in the past. You know what? A good way for you to build up your faith for today and for the future is remember what God has done for you in the past. Remember what he's done for you in the past. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter of the Bible that is really encouraging to Christians. And the reason why is because it's a reminder of the great things that God has done in the past because of the faith of his people. It causes us to look back and remember and think, you know what, we should do that in our own life. We should do a review of our life sometimes. Do a review of our life. When you review before, the final exam, you'll look back. You look at some things that you studied during the class that whole semester. We should review our life. We should look in the rearview mirror and see what's behind us and see some of the things that God did for us in the past. Remember how he saved you. Remember his blessings. Remember answers to prayer. It's good to remember what God's done for us in the past because it can help to build up our faith today. I challenge you, don't kill your faith by neglecting God's word. Don't kill your faith by self-reliance instead of trusting God. Don't kill your faith by foolish pride or a lack of prayer. Don't kill your faith by forsaking the local church. Realize there are some things that God wants to use to establish your faith. Build up your faith in the Word of God. Build up your faith by claiming God's promises daily through prayer. Build up your faith by being faithful to church. Build up your faith by remembering what God's done for you in the past and continuing to trust Him. In order to have an effective faith, we need to examine our faith. Examine our faith. Examine your faith. Is my faith fixed in Christ? Do I know Him? Have I trusted Him as my Savior? Does your faith stand in the tough times of life? Is your faith sufficient when your material possessions may be little or gone? Do you have faith in God when circumstances they seem impossible humanly? Do you have faith in God that gives peace in the midst of troubles? Do you have a faith that's leading you forward for God? Examine your faith. There could be other questions, but those are some questions that maybe help you and me. Examine your faith. Is my faith what it ought to be? Do I have an effective faith? And I say this, number two, establish your faith. Build your faith upon what? God's word. Claim God's promises daily through what? Through prayer. Number three, be faithful to church. Number four, remember what God's done for you in the past. Last thought I want to share with you, shortest of the three, but number three is, here it is. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. If you're going to have an effective faith, you need to exercise your faith. We need to have faith in God. But even if our faith is small, we need to exercise that faith. You know what? The only way for our faith in God to ever grow is to plant it. The only way for our faith to grow stronger is to exercise it. To exercise it. How do you grow bigger muscles? Not by sitting around doing nothing, right? You're going to get bigger muscles by exercising. It takes some work. It takes some exercise to build bigger muscles. You know what? You're going to grow bigger faith, Eric, by exercising. You can lift those weights and you can try to be all big and buff. And hey, you need to exercise some weights in your life spiritually. Exercise your faith so that it can grow. Place your faith in God. When there's hard things He asks you to do, can you trust God and do it even though it seems hard for you? Even though you don't see it? Can you trust God in that area? Can you exercise your faith to pray, believing that God will hear and answer your prayers? Could you maybe exercise your faith to tithe, trusting God to take care of your need? Could you exercise your faith to give offerings, believing that God will bless you for it? Could you exercise your faith to obey God's calling on your life, believing that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that He'll enable you and He'll help you to do whatever it is He wants you to do? Hey, could you exercise your faith to witness and share the gospel with others, believing that God will save the lost and God will give a harvest if we're faithful to sow the seed? Can you exercise your faith? You know, we can't ever expect a harvest if we don't ever sow a seed, right? We're going to have faith that the gospel works, enough faith that we'll try to share the gospel with somebody else. We're going to have faith enough that, okay, God's word works and God's promises are true, so enough that, okay, I will obey Him in bringing my tithes and offerings to Him. We're going to have faith enough to exercise our will and determination that I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Because I know that if I pray according to His will, He hears me. He hears me. Our faith has to be exercised. Faith doesn't just sit around on a shelf and it gets left there. And no, it has to be exercised. Exercise your faith to trust God in the trials, trusting Him that all things work together for good and for God's glory and purpose in your life. Exercise your faith to pray big prayers, believing God's word when it tells us that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Joshua believed God and obeyed God when God told him to march around the walls of Jericho. He had to exercise his faith. I don't know, you know, would you and I have had the faith to do that? Here, Joshua, God comes to him at night and gives him a great plan. Here's how we're going to beat Jericho. You're going to take all the men, you're going to take all the army and so on. You're going to take the Ark of the Covenant. What you're going to do is you're going to just march around Jericho quietly one day. And then the next day, you're going to do it again. You're going to do that for 6 days. Just march around Jericho. Don't say anything, don't do anything, just march quietly around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, you're going to march around Jericho. This time, you're going to do it 7 times. 6 times, you're going to march around quietly. And on the seventh time, you're going to let loose. The people are going to start blowing the trumpets. The people are going to start shouting and praising the God of Israel. And just see what's going to happen. You know what? They had to exercise faith to do that. But God did something awesome. God brought down the walls. God gave them the victory. You know what? Noah had to believe God, trust God, have faith, and then obey God when God told him to build an ark. What's an ark, God? Well, let me show you. I'll give you some plans, but you're going to build an ark. Because there's going to be a flood. A flood, God? What's a flood? He had to have faith, didn't he? And to exercise his faith. Abraham believed God and obeyed God when God told him to leave his home. You know what? Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. How are you going to establish your faith? You can examine your faith. We talked about some good questions you need to think about and evaluate maybe in your own life. But all of us, I'm sure, would have a greater desire to establish my faith. Establish your faith. I want an effective faith. I want a strong faith. I want a faith that's moving forward. I want a faith that gives peace. I want a faith that really trusts God. I want a faith that prays, that is effective. How are you going to do that? Build your faith upon God's Word. You spend a lot of time in God's Word. You read the Bible and meditate on the Scriptures. You know what it does? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can build yourself up, build your faith up by spending time in the Word of God. How are you going to build your faith? Find the promises and claim God's promises daily through prayer and see what God can do. Be faithful to church. Being in church and hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word will help to build and strengthen your faith. And then remember what God has done for you in the past. We need to establish our faith. And then it's not enough. We need to exercise our faith. Exercise our faith.